Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Christ came in humility to share our lives. Forgive our pride. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ came with good news for all people. Forgive our silence. Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ came in love to a world of suffering. Forgive our self-centeredness. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Here is the first reading, and it is taken from James chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. If anyone among you is sick, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if any one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The psalmody. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous.
They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb.
By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward.
But who can discern their errors? Forgive my hidden faults.
Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgressions.
May these words of my mouth and this mediation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. This reading is taken from Mark chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 38. Teacher, John said, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed. Sorry. Learn with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, as you know, we have just come back from a week in Oxford, brushing up on our theology with some of the brightest and the best. We were at Balliol College, a beautiful set of buildings and glorious gardens, as well as a dining room straight out of Harry Potter. It was such a privilege to be there. While others tried to get a glimpse of Balliol through an opening in a wooden door, we were guests, allowed to sweep in and treat the place as if it was our own. The porters in the lodge welcomed us in, but it was also their job to keep others out, which they did ever so politely. It was their job to decide who was allowed into Balliol and who wasn't. They are, in effect, bouncers, gatekeepers for the institution of Balliol College. Our lectionary reading from Mark offers us a story about the disciples who would like to act as bouncers. They have noticed people outside their group doing things, casting out demons in Jesus' name, and they point this out to Jesus. They clearly don't think that that sort of thing should be allowed. We saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop, because he was not one of us, John says to Jesus. But Jesus doesn't seem bothered. Do not stop him, Jesus says, for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us. The disciples have such a narrow view, such a narrow perspective of the work of God. They have failed to recognize that the man in question clearly understood the power that was present in Jesus' name. Jesus opposed the narrow and exclusive view of the disciples by saying, "Do not stop him." I wonder what the disciples thought about that. They thought that they were acting on behalf of the kingdom, But Jesus points out that they are doing the opposite. The man who is using the power of Jesus' name is part of the kingdom of God and should be encouraged. The disciples have got a lot to get their heads around. As I think about this story, I have found myself wondering why it is that so many of us tend to act as though we are God's bouncers, his gatekeepers, saying who's in and who's out. How ironic that Christians throughout history have felt the need to defend the borders of the kingdom of God, whereas God seems much less bothered. His borders are open. As someone wrote, God has spent a lot of time throwing open the doors we run around closing. But why? Why do we do it? Why do human beings find such satisfaction and even spiritual superiority when we secure someone else's failure and label them as outsiders, not one of us? Why do we make it so difficult for those who are seeking God in ways that are different to ours? Why are we so much better at noticing and praising difference than we are about celebrating the things we have in common? The difficult thing about today's gospel reading, I think, is that the disciples were not being unkind or hateful. Their motivation was good. They wanted to protect and honour the things that they found holy and sacred and special. They didn't like the way the man was exorcising demons in Jesus' name. Jesus, their friend. Jesus, the one they'd left everything to follow. It didn't matter that the man was doing good. It didn't matter that he was alleviating suffering, healing brokenness, and giving people life and restoring them to their communities. It was the fact he just wasn't doing it in the right way. He wasn't doing it in their way. And it probably didn't help that this man, who was operating out of the margins, was actually having some success. Well, more than the disciples were having anyway. Jesus is far too focused on what really matters to waste time being concerned about the disciples' gatekeeping. He knows that his ministry is coming to a climax. He knows that he is going to die, and at this stage in Mark's gospel, he speaks openly about it. And it's not just talk. Jesus is also making his way south towards Jerusalem, away from safety and into danger. Jesus knows he is running out of time. He knows that he has very little time left to prepare his disciples for what's coming next. So Jesus ramps things up, and you can feel his urgency and his frustration. Pay attention to what's important, he seems to be saying. Faith is hard. What you say and do, what you focus on, what you prioritize is important. You are my disciples. Look at the stumbling blocks you place in front of yourselves and other people, excluding people who live, believe, worship, and serve differently from you. Well, stop being stumbling blocks. I don't need bouncers. God doesn't need human beings to protect his interests. God's spirit is able to take care of herself. She will blow where she wills, how she wills, and when she wills, regardless of us. Stop making faith harder for yourselves or others than it already is. The longer I am a Christian and the more I read the Bible, the more overwhelmed I am by Jesus' radical teaching, his radical openness, his inclusivity, and his hospitality. Whoever is not against us is for us, Jesus said. Wow, what an amazing thing to say. whoever doesn't oppose the beautiful, saving works of God, his kindness, mercy, justice, freedom, love, healing, peacemaking, is on Jesus' side. And our job is to welcome them, to include them, and to love them. I think that is completely mind-blowing. But it's also a challenge, especially for us Christians who love our institutional and denominational and doctrinal cliques so very, very much. Some of the language in this gospel reading is difficult to read. Jesus' words about millstones, unquenchable fire, and missing limbs are challenging. But I think Jesus uses such words to shock us and to make us think, and to think about what we human beings do. We exclude, we judge, we condemn, and we compare. But Jesus calls us to be God's generous and welcoming hosts. We are called to throw the doors of God's kingdom wide open, knowing that there is more than enough grace, love, and mercy to go round. We are called to be hosts who trust that God can handle our differences, and hosts who are filled with wonder and joy when deeds of power are done in Jesus' name. We are called to be people who long for the day when all the Lord's people will be filled to overflowing with the Spirit of God. Whoever is not against us is for us. Alleluia. There's power in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We now move to the intercessions. On this day that the Lord has made, let us pray for the people he has redeemed. Hear us,
good Lord.
That those born to new life in the waters of baptism may know the powers of Christ's resurrection. Hear us,
good Lord.
That those who suffer pain and anguish may find healing and peace in the wounds of Christ. We pray especially for the sick, Jack, Jen, Catherine, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Morris, Ron, Gordon, Sally, Richard, and so the bereaved we remember also Pam Lewington and Dennis Howell. That in the undying love of Christ we may have union with all who have died in the faith of Christ. We give thanks especially for the lives of Pam Lewington and Dennis Howell. Hear us, good Lord. Let us commend the world in which Christ rose from the dead to the mercy and protection of God this day. Hear us, good Lord. Guide the leaders of the nations into the ways of peace and justice. Hear us, good Lord. Give us the will to use the resources of the earth to your glory and for the good of all creation. Hear us, good Lord. Mercifully accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Collect for the 17th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Pour your love into our hearts and draw us to yourself. So bring us at last to your heavenly city, where we shall see you face to face through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
May God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the source of all goodness and growth, pour his blessing upon all things created and upon us, his children, that we may use his gifts to his glory and for the welfare of all peoples. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with us and those we love and pray for, today and always. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Jean. Thank you, all of you, for being fellow worshippers and part of this church. Just a reminder that the coffee morning is on Zoom on Wednesday morning, the details of which are at the end of this order of service. And the following Wednesday, the first Wednesday in October, we will be meeting in person, live coffee morning at the Hartnell Hotel at 10 o'clock. If you should need a lift, then please do let me know or Sally Mundy know. That's 10 o'clock on, I think it's the 6th or something like that, first Wednesday in October at the Hartnell. Just have in mind the Bible study for the 27th of October also. So I look forward to being with you next week and with Claire and Guy, I think it is next week. So we look forward to being together then. God bless. Have a lovely day and see you soon. Bye-bye.